Praise God for them. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 29. Thank you to those that are watching online. I know we have several that are out of town this week, plus those that are faithful who are not able to come in. Matthew chapter number 11. I appreciate their faithfulness. I think of our friends, brother and sister Russ, Charlie and Cheryl. They watch us regularly. And Miss Rona and Brother Jerry, they watch regularly. Just it's good to see you. Brother Jerry's with us today. I love you, buddy. And I appreciate it. It's an honor. It's an honor that folks watch. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. You're going to need your Bible. Sounds foolish, doesn't it? Well, you're in a church. Of course you need your Bible. You need your Bible every day. But today we're gonna look at a lot of scripture as always, because I want you to see what the Bible actually says. I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to just listen to what some guy says on the internet. I want you to see it for yourself. That way it means something then. It means something then, because you looked it up, you saw it, and God spoke to you, and that's the key. That's the key. All right, so if you found Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29 and 30, well, actually, we're going to read 28, 29, and 30. If you found it, say amen. Okay, let's read it together as a family. Here we go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can we just unpack this verse just for a second? It come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, there's folks out there right now, people in this auditorium, maybe watching online right now, that are carrying a burden. You're carrying a weight. You're carrying something, and you can feel it in your neck and your shoulders, and you feel it in the pit of your gut, and you're thinking to yourself, what's going on? Listen, you were never meant to carry the burdens. Do you understand? Jesus is the burden bearer, and he's inviting you. Come on, come to me. Let me carry that for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Do you understand? You weren't made for that. You weren't made to carry that thing. Give it to the Lord. And then it says here, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Now, a yoke is that big piece of wood you put across two oxen, and it creates synergy. Do you know what synergy is? One ox will pull 6 ton, the other one will pull 5, and you think, well, that they can pull 11. No, they pull more like 17 because of the synergy created when the two work together. And Jesus is saying, yoke up with me. Come on, yoke up with me. Let me carry the burden. Let me be your help. I mean, is there days when you just feel like, there ain't no way? Yeah. They say, no way. You look at your calendar before you go to bed and you have a hard time sleeping, so you decide, you look at it when you get up in the morning, and you're just like, no. There's just no way, you know? And you think to yourself, well, yeah, if it's you pulling it by yourself, there ain't no way. You do not have within you the ability to do the things God has called you to do. None of you. Not even me. Nobody. Nobody. None of us. That's why Jesus is saying, come on, just hook up with me. Yoke up with me. Come on. Let me carry that burden. Let me more than just double what you do. Let me multiply what you can do, because I'll give you the ability to do the things I've called you to do, but you got to yoke up with me. Look at this now. Learn of me. Come on, you. I want you to trust me. And the only way you're going to trust me is if you learn of me. For I am meek and lowly. Meek doesn't mean weak. Meek means power under control. I have my emotions under control. I'm not going to lash out at you with a lightning bolt like some people believe. Some people believe God sits in heaven with a lightning bolt just looking for somebody to step out of line. That ain't how God does. That's not who he is. And if you would know him, if you would learn him, first if you would trust him as your Savior, and then as you get to know him, you're going to find out he does not take pleasure in judgment. He doesn't look for you to get out of line so he can swat you. That's not God. That's not who he is. You got the wrong view of God. Father, side note, this is why you always discipline in love, under control, never out of anger, or your kids will get a messed up view of God. Wow, just a few of us. But hey, amen, you'll find out. You'll get a messed up view of God. The kids will. Let's get back into it. Sorry. That's because preaching, though. Amen. And I'm lowly in heart. That means I'm not so proud to think that I don't need you. I want you. You've got to understand, God is self-sufficient. He is the great and terrible Jehovah God who is self-existent, doesn't need anything, but he has chosen that he wants to partner with you. He don't need you. I get that. He's God. But he has chosen you, every one of you. That's what it means, lowly in heart. I'm not so proud to think that I don't need you. I want you. I want you. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. Who are you yoked up to? Come on now. Who are you yoked up to? You're the ones dragging. You think that you're dragging that wagon all by yourself? Well, you might be. You might actually be. Because, see, you can't put a horse and an oxen together. You can't put a donkey and an oxen together, or a donkey and a horse. Why? Because they're different animals. They pull separately, and you can't plow a straight furrow. Does anybody use the word furrow this week in a sense? Okay, when you run a plow through the dirt and it turns it over, that's called a furrow. So you can tell when the teenager's doing it because it's all over and they're doing donuts with it. No, I'm the Amish. I bet the Amish teenagers have a blast out there doing donuts in the field with the horse and nobody else would do that as a kid. Oh, I do it all the time. So anyway, when you have two dissimilar animals pulling, they won't stay straight. They don't work together well. They weren't meant to work together well. And God is saying, listen to me. Listen to me. I want to work with you. See, we've all read Bible verses that talk about how God wants to do a work in us. And that's true. Because when he can do a work in us, when we trust Christ as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, we are bought with a price, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, he takes up residence inside you, he wants to do a work in you, so he can do a work through you. We've talked about that all over the last 4 or 5 weeks, about the Christ life living through us, instead of being bound up in this bondage of, well, just do better. If you'll just do more, if you'll just love more, if you'll... No, fool you on that. God wants to do something through you. Amen. He wants to live his life through us. But this other part here is kind of strange. He wants to do something right alongside us and with us, partnering with him together. Oh, there's plenty of verses in the Bible that deal with people fighting against God. Fighting against him. Isaiah 45:9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. How many of you remember the last fist fight you got in? Come on now, nobody wants to admit it, but do you remember, or should I say, do you remember the last fight you lost? Huh? Everybody above the age of 35 has been punched in the face. That's why they know how to behave in public. Right? Because we know how to behave in public because we've been punched in the nose. All right? And that's what's wrong with the 35 and younger crowd. They need, somebody needs to punch you, public service, go home, punch somebody in the face. Just go on to it. No. Advocating violence. No, but it's true, right? Huh? You knew there were certain people in high school you didn't pick a fight with. You just, no. No, here's my lunch money. Go right ahead. Go for the mac and cheese. I suggest it. Here you go. Oh, I'm glad to help. Why? You just don't pick a fight with certain people. You realize there are no good outcomes when you pick a fight with God. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of spots in the Bible where people strove against him. But today, God wants you to understand that he wants to work with you. Yes, in you and through you, yeah. But when Jesus says, take that yoke upon me, take my yoke, you're with me in this now. You're not alone. You're not carrying this burden alone. And you can't do the things by yourself that I've called you to do. You need to yoke up with me. In Philippians 1:27, if you're taking notes, the Bible says, let your conversation, well, let's look at it. Let's just jump over there. Philippians, turn to the right toward the back of the book. It's after 1st, 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you go to Colossians and Thessalonians, you've gone too far. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation. Now that's 1611 English, means your manner of life, your choices, your lifestyle, the way you live. Only let your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind. Now look at that last phrase, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Having shared goals with people on the job and people in your family, you know, that's key. You need to have shared goals in your family if there's going to be unity. And we all want to, because listen, no person left behind needs to be our attitude when it comes to a family. And the same thing with our faith when it comes to being in a church, to have unity. We're all in it for the same goal, and that's to see the lost saved, the saved sanctified, and the sanctified serve, you know, and doing it again. And we all have the same vision. We all have the same goal. We're striving with each other for a goal, not striving against each other. Churches fall apart when they start striving against each other. You know, when Moses went to God and strove for the people, God was merciful. But when Moses lost sight of it and started striving with the people, he smote the rock and lost his blessing. And that's what happens to us. We get our eyes off the prize. We get our eyes off the vision and the focus God has given us. And we start fighting and fussing and fuming with each other and with the people around us. And I'll be honest, God sometimes just kind of stands there with his side of the yoke and goes, go ahead, help yourself. Because until you get beat down enough, until you collapse under the weight of it all, you're not going to listen. I don't know if you imagine God doing that, but I've seen God do it in my life and in other people's life where he's like, okay, I'll just kind of hang out here and wait for you to go ahead, go on, get you some. And then we start to realize, Lord, I need you. Kind of like Peter steps out on the boat, gets his eyes off Jesus, starts to sink, Lord, save me. And it takes that moment sometimes of us sinking under the despair and the weight of it all for us to go, I need you, Lord. Yeah. That's why God allows these things. It isn't because God takes pleasure in your despair. It's because you won't stay in the yoke. You see, Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's not here to control you or to restrain you. That's a whole different version of religion out there. God isn't here. He didn't come here to restrain you or to hold you back. God came here to multiply what you want, what you can get done if you'll do it with him and strive for the same vision. The text verse says, he says, come, what? Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me so you can have confidence in my character. For I'm meek. I have my emotion under control. I'm not going to just angrily lash out at you. I'm lowly in heart. I've chosen you. You'll find rest. My yoke is easy and my burden's light. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1, the Bible says, we then, as workers together with him, speaking of God, we are workers together with him. In 1 Corinthians 3, 9, for we are laborers together with God. God didn't come down here to get a bunch of slaves. That's a different religion. He came here to work with us. He didn't come here to get us out of trouble. He came here to go through trouble with us. He didn't come here so that we could, you know, do our own thing. He came to come alongside us and do his will. Look at Mark 6, if you got it, Mark 16, 20, it says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. See, God working for us in the prosperity gospel, that's avarice. God working because of us, because we're so special, that's pride. But God working with us, that's partnership. In Acts 15 and verse 4, it says they were come to Jerusalem and they declared all the things that God had done with them. See, God wants to work with us. Paul said, I've planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. If we'll yoke up with God, he doesn't want to restrain you. There's so many more things he wants to do that's beyond what you can even imagine. But you can't do it by yourself. And he wants you to do it with him. So I want you to think of stewardship. Now, stewardship in the Bible is a person who takes charge of someone else's property and manages it for the benefit of the owner. And we've been studying over the last several weeks how you and I are the stewards of God. Now, God owns everything, 1 Chronicles 29:11, that everything that is in heaven and earth is thine. We belong to him because he created us. You know that. I've told you this, Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein, that we all belong to God. He created us and he saved us, 1 Corinthians 6. We are bought with a price, right? Now he wants us to partner with him. And so one of the ways we do that is by being his steward, by managing the things he's put in our purview for his glory and his good and his greatness and his kingdom, like your family. Now the Bible says it is required of stewards to be faithful. Are we faithful to our family? Are we faithful? I'm not just talking about adultery or the lack of it. I'm talking about faithful to serve and to minister. And I'm talking about you and God working together because God gave you that family. And now you're going to take them to the finish line. No child left behind was a really cute catchphrase, but I like it in the fact that no family member should be left behind. We should be working together with God to reach our family. What about your finances? Wouldn't it be helpful if God helped you in your finances? Well, does God have access? Yeah, I know, right? Right? It's kind of crazy to think about. Have you ever asked God what his opinion was on your finances? Well, no, they're mine. No, everything belongs to God. He just gives you something to manage for him, but it's his. And sometimes he has to take it away to remind you, hey, that wasn't yours anyway. You think, no, that's not how it works. No, it's true. What about your friends? We talked about that last week. You're stewarding your relationships at work and in the community and in your extended family. God put you in charge of those. You're to manage them. The fellowship at the church. How are you doing with the people sitting in front of you and behind you and on either side of you? Do they know you love them? Do you know that you're loved by them? Do you know their name? Now, there's a reward for faithfulness. Remember in Matthew 25, Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." It's not about equal talent. You understand that? It's about equal submission to the Lord. And as God's partner, he offers to bless us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after speaking about the rapture, Paul said, because you know this is coming, because you know that God has something bigger and better planned for you in the future, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Why? "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You realize the only thing that lasts beyond this life is that which is done for Christ. The only thing that lasts beyond your life is that which is done for Christ. One of these days, all the accolades will come off that wall. Every commendation that's in a folder in your file cabinet will be disposed of. All of those medals will be pitched in the trash. Why? Because you're not here. And they're yours. And they're no longer valid for anyone else. So partnering with God means to first be in a condition where you're blessable. How many use that word in a sentence this week? I just made it up. Are you living a blessable life? I mean, God, you don't reward bad behavior. Why would God? So let's talk about it for a second. Take your Bible, turn over to Psalms chapter 1. Now, when we pray and when we use Christian lingo, that ought to be an app somewhere for lost people to understand what Christians are actually saying. Like Duolingo, right? Is there a Christian setting? So when your lost friends are trying to understand you, they can like, you know, he said blessed. What does that mean? To be blessed means to have the active goodness of God unleashed in your life. Let me say it again. To be blessed is to have the active goodness of God unleashed in your life. Who wants to line up for that? Huh? Right? Right? Wouldn't that be cool? Well, I'd stand in line all day to get that. That's what Jesus is saying. Yoke up with me. I won't just double what I want to get done in your life. We'll multiply it. Do you believe God knows what's best? Amen. I mean, he knows everything. But do you believe he actually knows what's best? Yes. Do you actually live like you think he knows what's best? Now we're getting real. Okay? And do you know he wants what's best? Because here's the other side of the coin. We may think, well, of course God knows what's best, but of course he'll do that for this person and that person, but not for me because, you know, I know what kind of a sinner I am. Guess what? He knows what kind of sinner everybody is. And he knows what's best and wants what's best. So look at Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, the whole chapter is only 6 verses long. You ought to memorize chapter 1. It's a fabulous chapter. Blessed. Blessed is the man. The active goodness of God is unleashed in the life of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He listens to godly counsel. The person who wants God's active goodness released in his life is not listening to people or taking advice from people who hate God, who hate God's word, who hate God's people, who hate God's house. Do I need to say that in a different language? Or, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Don't listen to those people. The Bible calls them fools. For why? Because the fool has said in his heart, no God. No God for me, no God but me. That's what Psalm 14 verse 1 says. You want the active goodness of God released into your life? Don't listen to people who are ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Is your life pointing people to Jesus or pointing them away from Jesus? Can they see, as 1 Peter 3 says, when every man asketh you the reason of the misery in your life? No, it's supposed to be the reason of the hope in your life. Can people see the active goodness of God released and active in your life? You want God's goodness to be released? Then don't listen to ungodly counsel. Number 2, don't stand in the way of sinners. Point people to Jesus. Have a clean testimony. Number 3, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't be those that mock and backtalk and gossip. Gossip will kill the church. Gossip will kill the work of God in a community. Ain't none of us worthy of Jesus' love. None of us are worth anything, but Jesus chose to love us. You want to be blessable? You want the active goodness of God unleashed in your life? Then don't sit with those that are scornful, that scorn revealed truth. But instead, delight and meditate in the word. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the active goodness of God is released into your life. Look at verse 3. By doing this, he shall be a tree, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you see that? That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Year to year to year to year to year. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Has everything you ever got yourself involved in prospered? Anybody? You got some stuff stuck back in a box somewhere. You put too much money in it to throw it away, but then again, it's never really worked out. And maybe that network marketing thing you tried to get involved in. And you want God to prosper it. Well, then don't. Don't what? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. But instead, delight in the law of the Lord and in his law meditate day and night. And then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water who bringeth forth his fruit in season, year to year to year. Your leaf also shall not. I'm not talking prosperity gospel here. I'm talking the promise of God saying, if you'll yoke up with me, if you'll yoke up with me, we'll do something beyond your wildest imaginations for eternity. And we'll definitely accomplish more together than you will by yourself. Right. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 8:21 that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance and I will fill their treasures. Partnering with God means being a faithful steward of that which God has put in your purview, under your care and your management. But it also means honoring him with obedience. The greatest form of worship is obedience. The greatest way you can worship the Father in heaven is to obey what he said, to do what he said. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Psalms 1 told you how to be blessable, how to have the active goodness of God unleashed in your life. Proverbs 3, if you'll obey God, look what God promises to do. Honoring God in obedience releases God's active goodness. Look at this, verse number 1. My son, forget not my law. Don't ignore what God's word had to say, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Hide them in your heart and live by them. And look what God's going to do. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. God's active goodness released into your life. It'll give you more hours in your day. More days in your life. I used to say to my sons, you know, if you'd obey, you'd live longer. Right? Isn't that the first of the Ten Commandments that had a promise tied to it? If you'll honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Well, aren't you supposed to obey your heavenly Father? But what is it saying? Remember what God said and live it. And he'll give you more hours in your day, more days in your life, and more peace in your heart. Now look at verse number 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That means mercy for yourself. Don't forget, God's been awfully merciful to you. Amen. Yesterday, we had a chance to give the gospel to a really precious man and woman, and we were able to talk about how that we deserve to die and go to hell. You understand that? Every one of us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, right? Romans 6:23. We don't deserve nothing, but God gave us a gift. So don't forget how good God's been to you. It makes it easier to forgive. It makes it easier to be patient. It makes it easier to be long-suffering. And it makes it easier to love the unlovely when we remember all the things God has forgiven us of. All right? And then number 2, be thankful for the mercy God shows other people. I mean, maybe it's just me, but don't you see folks acting a fool or you know, they say they're Christians, but then they go do stupid things and celebrate it, and you just think to yourself, why ain't God killed them yet? Okay, that's just me. You just don't think to yourself, boy, you know, how many people would still be alive at 5 o'clock today if you had that kind of power? You'd just be pinching heads, wouldn't you? I know it'd be messy, but still, we could clean it up, right? We forget that we ought to be thankful God is long-suffering for other people too. Why hasn't God smacked them? Why do they mouth off about God? And why do they say all these stupid, crazy, blasphemous things? Because God wants to give them a chance to wake up from their stupor and their idiocy and get saved. Aren't you glad God was long-suffering with you? See, you want to be blessable? You want to release the active goodness of God in your life? Then obey him and be thankful for the mercy he's shown you and thankful for the mercy he is still showing others. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God will favor you, and so will the people that you engage. Seriously, what makes the difference? You're going up for a job interview against someone else. You're equally qualified with equal accolades and whatever. What makes that guy choose you over the other is the favor of God. And sometimes it's the favor of God that they chose somebody else. Sometimes it's God going, yes, son, I know you're qualified, but no. No, you'll thank me later. Look at verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. I don't know about you, but I don't fully understand things. I don't understand things in life. I don't. I mean, I understand some things, but I don't understand why people get cancer young. I don't understand. Not that I appreciate people getting cancer when they're old, but I mean, seriously, you know, when they still got a lot of life left, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand why babies die. I don't understand why we've had 4 miscarriages. I don't understand. But I know the person who does understand, and I trust him. See, God understands. And I'm yoked up with him. So I may not understand why the road is the way it's been, but I know he knows why. And a lot of times, man, I'll tell you, that's enough. Amen. That's enough. Trust in the Lord. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 11, he said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Trust me. I can't even trust myself sometimes. How about you? I've been on like an 8-month diet and I'm like stuck and I keep thinking to myself, why bother? And you know, there's this new Korean donut place over here. Have you tried it? I walked by it the other day. I could feel the carbs coming through the window. Right? Why? I can't trust myself. That's why I don't go into bakeries and places like that. I can't trust myself. But I can trust the Lord. When I'm submitted to him, when I'm walking in obedience, yoked up with him, the active goodness of God is released. Look what it says. In all thy ways, that's my habits. Do my habits acknowledge my faith in God? Do my entertainment habits acknowledge my faith in God? Do my loving my wife habits acknowledge my faith in God? Does my emotional habits, my reading habits, my driving habits? Oh, now let's talk real. Right? If you're not going to drive like you're somebody, then take the bumper sticker that says, Welcome to First Baptist Church, off the back of your car. You make us look bad. Okay? Don't double park. Your car's not that fancy. All right? Don't do that. Don't take up 2 spots and then have that shiny sticker on there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Does your habits, look at it now. It says it right there. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. God will tell you which way to turn. God will tell you. You just don't need to know which way to turn until we get to the turn. Trust God. He's your GPS. The active goodness of God is released into your life when you are a faithful steward, when you live blessable. Number 3, when you obey him. Look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Do you realize there's some things you really don't understand? And do you understand you're not as smart as you think you are? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He knows best. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. One of the ways God's active goodness is released into your life is through health. Now, I can't tell you. You say, don't jinx it, Pastor Mix. But the truth is, I know that it's God that keeps me healthy. It's not. And if cancer comes my way, it was his choice. It's his choice. I'm yoked with him. I'm going down the road he brings me down. And if it means cancer, it means cancer. If it means a heart attack, it means a heart attack. Actually, I expect to flame out. I expect to, Mrs. Mick's like, no, I'm going to die first. I'm like, no, I'm just going to be going one day and flame out. And then she's like, no. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. Honor means to show reverence and submission. Substance is your possessions. Do you see that? And with the first fruits of thine increase, that's your tithe. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Now you all stopped listening to me because I said the T word, didn't you? It happens. People walk into our church and go, all you ever talk about is money. Well, if you show up in February, you're probably going to get a stewardship message somewhere in America. That's like saying, I went to church at Christmas and all I ever heard was about the baby Jesus. You ought to come more often. We talk about other things. Amen. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out new wine. Tithing is not giving 10%. Tithing is you recognizing 100% of everything you have belongs to God, And he says, I'm going to let you keep the 90%. And you'll worship me with the 10. You'll show that you trust me with the 10%. So let me ask you a question. Do you want, you say, well, I don't care whether you obey it or not. I don't need your money. God don't need your money. I don't see who gives. I don't know what you give. I don't care. Makes me love you more. Just does. But let me ask you a question. Is that in the Bible? Is it in the same Bible that says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Is it in the same Bible that says they walk on streets of gold? You know, in Malachi it says, he says, try me, show me, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. If they walk on streets of gold, what do you think they throw out the windows? Never thought of that, did you? And he says, and I'll pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. That's in the same Bible. The question is, do you want God involved in what you're doing? I think a lot of times you and I get weary doing it by ourselves. We get weary. And the life gets tiresome. And we think to ourselves, where's God? And God's been standing over here on the proper path with a yoke on, going, waiting for you to go, all right, I'll trust you. I'll believe you. I'll honor you. I'll be faithful with the things you've put under my care. I will live blessable by not listening to the fools who mock God or scorn God's truth. But instead, I'll delight in God's law and I'll meditate in it day and night. And I'll obey when God said to be merciful and enjoy the mercy God shows you and others. And I'm not going to forget his law. And I'm going to trust him with all my heart and not lean on what I think. I'm going to see what he says. And I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes. I'm going to honor the Lord with my substance. And the first fruits, that's your tithe, your first fruits. And the question is, do I want God to unleash his active goodness in my life? Do you want God as your business partner? Do you want God as part of it? Now listen, God, I'm not talking the prosperity gospel here where you give and God gives you $1 billion, okay? Has it ever dawned on you that God has given you what he can trust you with? Has that ever dawned on you? But you know, when I take that 2012 155,000-mile Ford and drive past a Beamer sitting on the side of the road with the hood up, I'm reminded that it's the active goodness of God. The fact that I can't remember the last time I was in a doctor's office is the active goodness of God. Now, it doesn't mean because you're sick, you're bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying God may not pay on Friday, but God always pays. Do you understand? God will not be a debtor to me. If I obey him and I honor him and I do what he tells me to do, then he is honor bound to release the active goodness of God in my life. And I claim it all the time. God, this is you. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to follow until you tell me to do otherwise. I'm just going to obey and be faithful. I know I need to read, I need to pray, I need to tithe, I need to witness, I need to go to church. And until you tell me to turn right or left, I'm going to keep reading and praying and tithing and witnessing and going to church. And God, until you tell me what my calling is or a different purpose or you change the direction, I'm going to read and I'm going to pray and I'm going to tithe and I'm going to witness and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to expect you to make up the difference. And he always does. As I said, God don't always pay on Friday, but God always pays. Do you live like you honestly believe God's promises will come true? Do you make choices based on those promises because you believe his character will never fail? See, God did not leave us here to struggle on our own and to live in despair and dung anguish. No, he said, look, I'm coming down. and I want to come alongside you. I want to do a work in you when you trust me as your Savior. I'm going to do a work through you as I change you from the inside out, but I'm also going to yoke up with you and partner with you, and I'm going to walk with you. You don't have to do this life alone, but I'll let you if you decide you want to. Go on. Go on. Somebody said to me this last week, well, I got it figured out. Okay, that means in pastor speak, it translates to God's letting me do it on my own. All right, I'm here. I'm here when you need me. And brothers and sisters, God is offering us his active goodness. But it only comes the way he's laid it out. It starts by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the free gift of everlasting life and forgiveness of all of our past, present, and future sins is a free gift God offers you. You don't get it by going to church. You don't get it by being baptized. You don't get it by taking communion. You don't get it by being sweet and playing nice. You get it by trusting him. And that's where it begins. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God wants to do a work with you that multiplies beyond your imagination what you could accomplish on your own. Partnering means being faithful as a steward. Partnering means honoring God in obedience. Our Heavenly Father today, burdens are something we carry because we've yet to give them to you to carry, to collect on the debt of. Father, these are things we've failed to give to you. And Father, today we're sorry. And Father, we know that there is promises in the Bible that we could claim. And as we learn them, Father, we ask that you would inspire us to believe it and to live it. And then, Father, as you release your goodness, let us testify to those around us as they see it, as they experience it. And Father, today, maybe there's someone sitting in the pews or watching online that if they died today, they're not sure heaven's their home. They're not even sure any of this is real. God, speak to their heart right now. Speak them, convince them of their need, convict them of their sin, and save them as they call upon you. And us, your children, God, our desire is to not only be blessable, but to be blessed for your glory, for your name. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Mrs. Meeks begins to play and to sing, this is prayer time. This is your time to talk to the Lord. This is your time. If you've never trusted Jesus, step out. Come down front here. I'll take my Bible and I'll show you where it says you can be saved today. It's a free gift. You can pillow your head tonight knowing you're going to wake up in glory if something happens. Christian, you're here today and you're just wore out. You've been dragging that sled by yourself. Come down here. Give the burden to Jesus. Yoke up with him as she plays. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. Just pray. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve hell. But God, you offered me the gift of everlasting life. Forgive me. I believe Jesus died and rose for me. Forgive me. I believe. And I am trusting him today as my Savior.
Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. In every broken place, you are my righteousness.
Come.
Jesus, I come. Jesus,
God's ready to partner with you. Right in the middle of your life, he's ready. Just as I am, I come.
Hallelujah. Oh, what amazing love.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the promises in your word. Thank you, God, that your goodness follows after us, desires to do an impactful, powerful work in our life. And God, today, as we come before you and as we kneel and as we submit our life to you, Father, unleash your goodness for your name's sake. For your kingdom's sake, and for your glory. And Father, we'll praise you. We will not neglect to say thank you or to tell others. Father, show yourself strong. Show yourself as real. And we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.